Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission every week is to bring you the most interesting people I can find. They're entrepreneurs, they're business people, they're authors, they're speakers, they may own a gym, they may own a local donut shop, but they are fascinating people. They are entrepreneurs who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice with us every week. And often they will share their story, how they got from point A to point Z. And it's really interesting to hear some of these great, great stories. So this week, my question to you is, are you tired of working long hours with nothing to show for it? Are you wondering why less qualified experts are passing you by? And I used air quotes around that, experts, by the way. Deborah Angeletta is a speaker, a coach, an author. She is the CEO and founder of A New View and the creator of popular programs such as 5 Steps to Jumpstart Your Business and the 6-Figure Schedule. She is the go-to girl when you want to streamline your schedule. God knows I need to talk with her. And skyrocket to 6 figures and beyond in your small business. With over 20 years in a Wall Street career, she uses her finance expertise to teach coaches, consultants, and sales professionals how to discover their zone of genius. I love that. As well as simple steps to catapult to the next level in their business. Working only 4 days a week, 3 weeks of the month, she has mastered the keys to creating $10,000 a month paydays. She helps her clients streamline their schedule and package their business for profit so they can have the life and their business of their dreams. Look, people like us who go into business, we're workaholics. We think that we're trading a job and those hours for something that we can just go, ooh, very cool, I've got time to play. Not so true, and we're going to talk about that. Deborah is also the author of The 6-Figure Schedule, Streamline Your Schedule, and Skyrocket to 6 Figures Using the Science of, I think I'm going to say this properly, Iridiology. I'll find out. Good morning, Deborah. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm so excited to have you here.
Good morning, Denise. So great to be here with you.
Did I say that properly? I downloaded the book last night, but I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
It's Iridology. I know. It's Iris. Like, Ira, what?
Well, I know Iris, but the D threw me off. So it's like, okay. And we're definitely going to talk about that book. But I'm so happy to have you here today. Tell our audience a bit about yourself before I just pepper you with questions.
Great. Thanks so much for the lovely intro, Denise. This is such a fantastic opportunity to be here with you today. This is just such a wonderful area to be in. I started in small business back in my 20s, and it was really, really interesting. So back in the day, you know, business was not like it is today. It was, we didn't have the technology around what we have available today. And what was interesting, it was a lot of in-person connections and a lot of hitting the pavement. And, you know, fast forward, 25 years later, it's amazing the opportunities that we have as business owners. And then you overlay this technology and it just explodes your opportunity and it makes it so much easier for people to start businesses today than it was many, many years ago. So through that process, having that experience all those years ago and now also having my own business after having a corporate career, I've noticed the difference in the time frames, but also where people get caught up as well these days and where they really crash and burn. So,
well, crashing and burning, honestly, I think it's scheduling. I think that's really what, I mean, that's my big thing that I want to ask you about today, because as I said when I introduced you, you know, we all leave corporate life or we put our job behind us for whatever reasons. Either we just said, I don't want to do this anymore, Remember that old song, Take This Job and Shove It? Been there.
Yep.
One of my all-time favorite songs. Or, you know, we were downsized. Whatever happened, or, you know, some people took maternity leave and said, I don't want to go back. I want to stay home with my children. Whatever reason people become entrepreneurs, whether they're born to it or they learn it, I think all of us have a very rude time of it going, oh, my God. You know, we start out, I think, as workaholics, but then we quickly find out that we're working 80 and 100-hour weeks. I mean, we're not streamlining a darn thing. So I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank
you.
And I
think you may wind
up
counseling me because I'm guilty. I'm just going to say it straight. I'm a high-functioning workaholic, so you know, I may be a really good test subject for you.
Well, what's really interesting is that, and that's one thing that I think is really surprising for people coming out of corporate, starting their own business, because don't forget, the corporate mindset of most people is, think about it, Sunday night starts the anticipation of the work week. So we've got the I hate Mondays, and then we've got the hump day Wednesdays, and
right.
then we've got the working for the weekends, right? So by the time Friday comes, it's like, yay, now we have 2 days to ourselves. And so that's the mindset. When you become an entrepreneur, I think the shift, what I tend to call the e-shift from the employee mindset to the entrepreneur mindset, is that ultimately to become an entrepreneur in the way, in the really, really true core way, your life and your business do become one.
Oh, no kidding.
So, yeah.
It's hard to separate them out.
It is. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be difficult. And what we tend to forget as women, especially, because we tend to take that caretaker role, we're always doing things for other people, we're super achievers. But at the same time, we have to really get clear on our boundaries as an entrepreneur as well, and get really, really clear on when we pull that yes lever, because there really is a lot of opportunity and there is so much going on around us as business owners that starts to get a little fuzzy, because don't forget, back in corporate, you were paid to be a yes person.
Well, and that makes sense. And, you know, the typical thing that when people think of women is that we're nurturers, we're caregivers. Yet we do have to kind of be superwomen, you know, just roll everything all in one. We're caring for our home, we're caring for our children, we're caring for our businesses, we're caring for our loved ones, and it can wear us out. I was having a chat with myself the other day in the car driving down the road saying, you know, so many opportunities come to us as businesswomen. They really do. And sometimes they can come fast and furious. And my question to myself in the car, because that's the only quiet time I have, even though I work at home alone, because nobody can bother me, I don't answer my phone when I'm driving, but was, all right, how many of these opportunities are something that I should pay attention to, and how many can I let go? And that's part of a scheduling problem, too, because we always want to bat, you know, we want to take that bat and swing at everything that comes down the road, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And I think that, you know, we have to give ourselves a break, because opportunity does come often. The other thing that I think that we can settle into is that I don't think opportunity just comes knocking once. I think if it's something that's meant to be and it's something for you to pay attention to, it won't just show up at one time. It
right.
shows up multiple times, and then it's almost like, you know, a brick to the head, and you're like, oh, okay. So opportunity is a really, really interesting thing. I don't think it's a singular proposition where it only comes by once, kind of like a speeding car, and if you don't take advantage of it, it just goes off into the distance, never to be seen again. So
Good
if
advice.
We can just give ourselves a break and really relax into that, to say it's going to show up more than once.
That has been my experience, you know. And I've had that, oh, okay, I'm paying attention now, sorry. Yeah. Okay, I'm alert now. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do people make that shift? Because you did it, I've done it. How do people make that kind of mindset shift from saying, boy, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the weekends? I mean, what do you advise people to do when they're maybe first going into business? And they have that still kind of straitjacket in terms of scheduling, you know, because that's a hard habit to get out of. when I first, you know, said, I'm done. I will never, I play with scissors. I don't play well with others. I'm not going to work in somebody else's office ever again. And that first month or so, I had the hardest time acclimating myself to the old get up, jump out of bed, go routine. It took about a month.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just really a matter of, so it sounds like what you wound up doing for yourself, Denise, is you identified a way that you really worked really, really well, meaning that you knew that you could get a lot done by having focused time and not having anybody else around you. You
right.
also knew that you wanted to pave your own path. And I also think that the shoulds from the past come up in our heads based on our corporate career of how we should be doing things, right? Because that corporate career really laid the foundation and really a lot of that subconscious programming. And you want to know what? You know, if some days you want to get up at 9, 10 o'clock and start your day at noon, you know what? That's perfectly okay. And it really goes back to how you operate and honoring how you innately show up as a business owner, identifying that and working with it. Because a lot of people, their whole lives have been in pain, trudging to that 9 to 5, that 9 to 7 job every day because they're really operating out of who they really are. They were doing it out of necessity for the paycheck.
Exactly. And, you know, working virtually the way I do, I find that it didn't take me very long because I've always known what my natural rhythm was. But I find that I'm at my peak very early in the morning. About midday, I slow down a bit. My brain gets a little muddied. So then I go off and I do something different. I may go outside and dig holes and plant trees. I may clean the house. I may wipe down walls. I don't know what it is, but I'm doing something different. And then again, around 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, I'm like, woohoo, and off I go again. And that may go on until about 11 o'clock at night. So I have two very distinct high-energy periods. And because I work from home, I can do it. I mean, I can work at peak level when I'm ready to.
Yeah, and I think that you have discovered the secret that a lot of people, when they're struggling, you know, especially, what are we, a couple months into the new year? You know, there's so many people that are still spinning their wheels. They're still wondering, where do they begin to jumpstart their business, find ideal clients, and to get money rolling through the door? And, you know, this is exactly the reason why so many women entrepreneurs struggle is because they're doing things backwards. What they're trying to do is they're trying to fit strategies that they've been taught, strategies and techniques that just simply don't work for them. And, you know, and it can depend on the time of day whether they work or not for them as well. So the way to really accelerate their success, and it does seem completely counterintuitive, but it works every time, is that you start with what you're good at, and then you find a strategy that leverages that. And really, it's that simple. But if you don't know how to do it, once again, like we said at the beginning, you can crash and burn in your business.
Right, right. And the thing is, and I see this in the virtual assistants community all of the time, people say, oh, gosh, I've got to build packages. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And when they're posting these little questions or remarks in my Facebook VA group, I can almost feel the fear and the panic just rolling off of these statements or these questions. And it's very clear to me that they are doing things backwards, that they're not saying, okay, I've got mad skills in Infusionsoft, or I've got mad skills in WordPress, or I'm an Excel spreadsheet maven. Whatever it is that they're good at, they're trying to say, okay, but it's not enough. I've got to do everything. And you can just feel the panic. And if I can feel the panic, and I'm not actually thinking of hiring them or working with them, you know that their potential clients can fear. They can see it. People don't understand that spidey sense goes off when you're feeling fear and you're posting these things. It does show, whether you know it or not. As confidence shows.
Yeah.
Confidence shows as well.
It does, and you can definitely, if you're having a conversation over the phone or Skype or whatever it is, you can feel that energy. And, I also think that, you know, we really need to get comfortable with the idea that, you know, most people, we're all reasonable, rational people, meaning that, you know, even the people I work with, I don't expect them to know everything in their respective area. I know they're going to excel in certain areas, and I would rather know that about them right? And for the things that they don't do so well, listen, I always say work with what you've got and outsource what you're not. I mean, it's really that mm-hmm. easy, and it's that simple. And for VAs, right. especially in the arena that, you know, that's the audience that you talk to and are very, very close with, it's that you want to know what? Identify what you're really, really good at, and that's where your partnerships come in. If somebody else is going to be really great at PowerPoint, Keynote, or whatever, you know, bring them into the fold to help you so that you can build a really, really great solid practice. But once again, it's not all on you, but you can give world-class service. It doesn't have to rest all on your shoulders.
I love that you said world-class. I have a client that uses that all the time. He's practically branded himself as a world-class expert, and he is. And he's very, very passionate about that. And I agree with you. If you're going to do something, do it at world-class level. And then you can start bringing in other things or bringing in team members. I mean, it's the perfect thing to do.
It is, because you can't be great at everything. And if you were, then something's wrong, quite frankly.
I've had that talk with myself, too, in the car. It's like, Denise, okay, it's time to have the chat. I suspect that people driving down the road next to me go, oh, my God, give her birth. She's, you know, give her wide berth. She's crazy. Because I'm always chatting with myself. But these days, people are on the phone all the time, so I can get by with it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love sit-downs with yourself, yes. Car time is, like, the most meditative time. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
I know. And the thing is, I live alone, I work alone, I have plenty of quiet time, but car time for something that's very different. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got some big questions for you, because I know you talk about how making your business profitable is so, so important, and I'm preaching that all the time. So how do you suggest that people monetize or organize or package whatever it is that they're doing, their services or their products? How do they get that sorted out in their head, out onto the web, or wherever it is that they're going to be selling, and how do they make a profit out of it? Where do you start people? When you're working with people, when you're working with clients, how do you sort them out?
Yeah, so one of the key factors goes back to really, you know, once again, understanding who they are, how they operate, and who they are at the core of their being. And really having a system to identify, you know, what type of person and what arena they fall into. And for one of the tools that I use in my practice, you had talked about it earlier, we use a really interesting system that actually uses something that's as unique as your fingerprint. So you know how your fingerprint is one of a kind, right? And
right,
how,
right.
You know, you're a one of a kind person. And then knowing that, you know, when you are operating from your zone of genius, you're operating at a level where you're just buzzing and vibrating and just popping. You know where you're, you know the areas that you're really, really good at, and then you also know what you love to do. So everything just starts there, because once you start to identify that and bring all of those unique strengths and traits out, then life starts clicking along. Things start popping. Things start falling into place. And the things that are often hard for other people are easy for you. And that's where we really start with the foundational piece to say, okay, based on who you are, how you operate, your gifts, now we can start looking at how do we start packaging you for profit? How is it that you do things in a really, really unique way that has high value and that also gives high service? So it all starts with identifying, going back to that zone of genius.
Now, are we talking about, right now on my Kindle, I've got your book, The Six-Figure Schedule, Streamline Your Schedule and Skyrocket. I'm fascinated with the title. But are we talking about the eyes, the iris thing?
Yeah,
because
actually,
I was on your blog
are.
Last night, too. And I was like, okay, that's fascinating. I think I'm number one. I think without going any further, I was reading the descriptions, and I would love for you to share with the audience, because I know I'm not making much sense right now, share with the audience what we're talking about. But I went on there, and I went, oh gosh, there I am. It was pretty interesting.
That's great. And, yeah, it's an amazing system, and it actually, you know, takes these individual things, right, just all looking at it from, you know, this perspective of your natural talents and your natural abilities, And it's all how I do it, the tool that I happen to use in my practice, it's all based on the structure of your eye. And that's where the iridology comes in. And without having to understand how all of that works and the science behind iridology, what wound up happening is after working with hundreds of women and reading lots of people's eyes and doing the mappings and interpretations, I discovered four different archetypes that most women entrepreneurs fall into. And then that's where this process started. So it's just a really, really amazing process to take everybody through. And these four archetypes give some really, really great information to really start putting together those building blocks of, you know, who are my ideal clients? Where are they? How can I monetize, organize, and package and start profiting based on what I have to offer?
Now, I've got to know, how did you get started doing this? I mean, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's interesting because, as you had said at the beginning, I have a corporate career. My background is in finance, sales and trading for a Wall Street firm, and that was most of my career. And funny enough, so I'm a very left-brain linear thinker, but, you know, when I was at work, I was getting a little bored. And so a couple of my friends, we're starting to study in different areas, in the holistic areas of like health and nutrition and different types of modalities. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. I've always loved different things. And I started to, in my spare time, started to study these alternative avenues from Reiki, nutrition, and a lot of these different types of holistic modalities. Iridology came on the scene for me. And what was interesting, I didn't seek it out. I always say it found me. It was just one of those things where I went to a talk, saw somebody talking about it, had a reading, and it literally, I was still in corporate at the time, the reading had literally laid out the game plan for my business going forward. And at that time, I wasn't even thinking of starting a business. I had taken the notes, stuck them in a drawer, and let them collect dust. And so that's really how this came about. It's just something that, once again, it had attracted me. And even though coming from that very left brain, things have to make sense, you know, 1+1=2 type of mindset, I still really love this really creative type of alternative. Oh, this is interesting. It just spoke to me. And I just honored it. Instead of judging it, I honored it. And then years later, when I decided to leave corporate and start my own business, you know, sorting through a drawer, cleaning out some papers, boom, found the reading and pulled it out. I was like, ah, here we go. Here's what we need to do. And that's really how it all started, knowing that it was so powerful for me and how I started my business. I knew I had to take this since it spoke to me and start incorporating it in my own business and use it with and to help other women entrepreneurs.
Again, I'm fascinated with it. So tell people where they can go to find information about this. And then if you don't mind, I would like for you to just kind of walk us through what happens when somebody is going through this with you.
Yeah, so the information that you can find on this is actually on my website. You can get some information, and that's anewviewllc.com. So it's anewviewllc.com. And what we can actually do is, if you want, we can walk through one of the archetypes as an example just to give people a flavor and a taste for how this works.
Yeah, that would be great. And then we'll move on to, you know, scheduling and you know, really what we were going to talk about. But I needed to veer off because, seriously, I find this just enormously fascinating.
Great. Yeah, so it is very, very interesting because it's just a matter of really kind of like, you know, stopping things and saying, hey, wait a minute, let's back up. Let's really start observing who we are, how we operate. And it's hard because we don't walk around with a mirror all day, right? And we don't have people telling us what we're so good at because what we do innately, we don't realize where we're doing things that are above and beyond what most people do. We don't recognize our gifts. And so what this tool actually helps me to do with other women is that once something that I can identify and if it's something they know about themselves and we have a match, it seems to validate that uniqueness for them. So it just really helps them elevate who they are and how they operate and say, all right, now I know, now I can use this because somebody else has seen it as well.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because I had a conversation not too long ago with a client of mine that was a result of a conversation that I had with somebody that I had interviewed on my radio show. And it was just one of those things where the person I interviewed on my radio show said, look, I know that, you know, you were saying that a lot of what you do is just common sense, but I don't think you really understand that what is common sense and very easy or linear for you is simply not common sense for other people. And she basically just said, you need to step into your own brilliance and own it. And I just said, what? And it sat with me. And then I had the same conversation, only in reverse, with this client who was really struggling. And she's brilliant at what she does, but she doesn't see it. So I was able to take that conversation that was a gift to me and gift it to my client.
That's fantastic. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, because it is really about having people step into their brilliance and work it, use it.
Yeah, but we have to recognize it. And what we know what we know. So we just assume because we know what everybody else does too. And that's just not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really, really great transition to one of the archetypes that come up. One of the archetypes that we focus on is the intuitive archetype. And, you know, for your listeners, see if this sounds like, yeah,
that's the one I chose for me.
Yeah. So a really, really great example here is that, you know, most intuitives struggle with, I'll give you a situation. Just say they get a marketing idea. And then what winds up happening is they hop on a blog and then some authority, right, that's behind the blog says, no, don't do it that way. And then they may bring the idea to one of their coaches or a mentor, and then they say, no, don't do it that way. But deep down, the intuitive knows in their bones that the way that they wanted to do it would actually work. But then what winds up happening is they do it the way they were told, and then it all falls apart.
Oh, definitely not me then. Okay. I was almost there.
Almost there. But the big problem for intuitives is that they don't fully trust their intuition. They're in constant second-guessing mode all of the time. So as many times as they let authorities get in their way of their intuition, that's where the challenges come up for them. So it's one of those things where, listen, there is a lot of advice out there. There's a lot of strategies out there. Take it as a menu. I tend to describe it like a diner menu, right? If you picture your favorite diner that you go to, I'm still baffled how they still are able to make all of those entries, right? Anything on the menu you can have in a diner, that menu is huge. It's the same with business strategies, marketing ideas, the whole gamut. And then once you start identifying your archetype and how you operate, start honoring who you are and how you show up, you can start pulling in the strategies off the menu that really resonate with your type and that can work based on your type.
Well, I'm with you on menus. I'm like, really? How much of this is actually fresh? Are you kidding me? There's no way. When the menu is, you're like, what, like 14 inches long or 18 inches long,
yeah,
and it's four pages. I'm like, I don't think so, because there's nothing that's fresh in that kitchen. I got to go now. And I think that a lot of people try to offer that. You know, they're so busy. I call it scattershotting. They're in such a panic because they see other people doing really great things in whatever industry that they want to break into. And they see how effortless it seems and how easy it seems for other people to be experts, without really recognizing that probably there's a big old team behind that person, or that person just is, you know, has no personal life at all. And I'm not holding my hand up in the air at all. Kind of like I am.
And that's what I think people need to understand too, is that, yeah, there's always a story behind the story. And just, you know, my personal nature is like the investigative reporter, like getting to the bottom of the story. It was funny. I was just with a great group of women last week at my own mastermind, and we were talking about people in the industry who are actually, they have seven-figure businesses, and going back to what you were talking about, profits, they make seven figures, but they've spent seven figures. That's not a profitable business.
No, it's not. And so, I think a lot of people go into business as entrepreneurs thinking, okay, everything I make I get to keep. Oh my God, no. And that's a big wake up call for people.
Yeah. And it's really a matter of getting clear on where you need to put your resources and understand, you know, what it is that you can do, right, to grow your business and those strategies, but also how is it that you create profits? It's not so much revenue. You're going to generate revenue, but what you keep is the profits part, and that's a lot of what most people skip is the profits part. What are you going to keep for yourself?
Exactly. What are you putting away for the IRS? What are you putting away for operating expenses? What are you putting away for a rainy day? Are you paying yourself? Can you afford a team? I mean, these are business questions. You know, being an entrepreneur means that you have to be a business person. And I think a lot of people don't make that connection. As logical as it seems, a lot of people miss that connection somehow.
They do. And to tell you the truth, I do believe that some of it is innate and some of it has to be learned. And you can funnel it down to a really, really easy system, and that's one of the things that I teach. And we look at money types within each archetype that we identify in the zone of genius. So we're also able to identify, you know, how is it that you relate to money within your archetype? How is it that some of the pitfalls that we need to be aware of that you may fall into, where is it that we need to focus so we can strengthen that muscle for you?
So where do you start with people? I mean, I've got a whole list of questions. I don't know if we're going to make it all the way through the hour. We're going to try. I know we talked about monetizing, organizing. You know, we've kind of figured that one out. But what happens, and I see again in the VA industry, I hate to keep going back to that, but that's where I'm the most active, is that people really spin their wheels. I mean, they're just in a panic all of the time. I see them, and I observe a lot of them. I've got about 1,500 people in my group, and I'm watching all of the time. What are they up to? How can we help them? How can, you know, is there any advice that I can give or somebody else in the group who can give, who is, you know, at the top of their game? How can we be of assistance? And Deborah, I'm seeing they're in panic mode, a lot of them, and they're saying, oh, I've got to offer 5-hour packages. I've got to do free stuff. Oh, my God. And you can just feel the, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, coming off in them. And all of them, without exception, the question at the end of the panic question is, well, how do I get high-paying clients? I'm going to toss this one to you because it wears me out.
Yeah. And it's a great question, and it's a question that not only comes up in the VA world, it's across the board for, you know, coaches, consultants, salespeople. Everybody's asking, how do I get high-paying clients? And it's funny because, you know, what most people are taught is, you know, find your niche, find your niche, find your niche. And I totally agree with that. I agree that you have to have a niche in order to go out and market, because if you're speaking to everybody, that gets exhausting, and then nobody knows, you know, what you're known for. Who are you the go-to person for? Who is it that you serve? So I do agree with that, but I think that you have to, once again, back up the truck. And really, your ideal client is a reflection of you, how you operate, and the challenges that you have yourself. So when people say,
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. I mean, it's in nature, if you talk to anybody, and I always go back to the holistic practices because that's where a lot of my education was. You know, in nature, like attracts like when you're trying to make medicine, right? If I was trying to think of this the other day, like just say you were out in the woods and you got bitten by a snake, right? They have to get the, what is that called? The thing that they have to get, the anti-venom thing?
Anti-venom,
Yeah, whatever it is. Whatever it is that they're going to give you to counteract the snake bite is based in the venom from the snake bite. So like
attracts like.
It's no different for us entrepreneurs. And so one of the things that I tend to take a lot of my students through is that understanding, going back, what's your zone of genius, who are you, how you operate, what are the characteristics of who you are, and then let's overlay who your ideal client is, because let's really get clear on all those characteristics and attributes of yourself first, and then let's apply that to your ideal clients. what they're going to want, right? What are their problems? What are the solutions that you bring? What are the challenges and the roadblocks that are going to come up for them? It's no different than they are for you or for them.
So you're really saying work it backwards, which I agree with.
Absolutely.
Work it backwards. Find out who you are. Find out what your strengths are. Find out where you just really rock it. And then offer that and find those people who really need and want and appreciate your services and stop trying to be everything to everybody. That just doesn't work. As you said, it's exhausting and it's ineffective.
Yeah, and it really goes back to the old saying, which is interesting, who learns more, the teacher or the student?
I think it's equal.
If you look at it, yeah, if you learn, and it's equal because you're just a reflection of each other.
Well, yeah, yeah. So if in a perfect scenario, you're looking for clients that you like, admire, respect, and they basically have the same values that you do, yes?
Absolutely.
Perfect, because that's the way I operate.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Somebody asked me not too long ago, well, what do you look for in a client? And without even thinking, because I have no filters, as my mother says, I just said, she's always warning me, your mouth is going to get you in trouble. Your feet can't lead you out of us. I know, mom, I know. I know. And it happens, but I'm still pretty fleet of foot. But the first thing that came out of my mouth is, well, I have to like them. And I wasn't kidding. If I don't like you, I'm not going to work with you. It's not tenable to me.
Yeah, and that's one of those things back in corporate, right? You were forced to work with people you didn't like.
No kidding.
So,
I know the whole audience is going, oh, God, yes.
Yeah, and now you're on your own. You've got your business. You're rocking and rolling. And now that subconscious program's coming up with somebody that's coming up on the scene that you don't like, and you're like, do I make nice with them? Do I try to like them? Do I try to find one thing to like? So then you start negotiating with yourself, and it's exhausting, right? So
and
that's
it
where you
work out
start.
Well. Yeah.
No.
It doesn't work.
No, it's much easier than that. Like if you get a hit, this person is, you know, it's just not. It's not going to work out between you. It's fine. Just move on. It's okay.
Yeah, I always just say, listen, we're probably not a good fit, but I've got a lot of people I can refer you to. And that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and that's the other key component to this, is that, you know, it's not just about how you can serve people based on your gifts, but how can you use your gifts to be that giver, right? And to be that person that connects other people and that can really serve colleagues and other people that come into our world. They may not be clients of ours, but how can we serve them as far as connecting them to other opportunities, to mm-hmm. other people, to really help them come from that giver's gain perspective? Because, you know, who knows? They may have somebody to recommend to you as a referral for a client down the line. So it's okay.
Right.
There are plenty of people that, you know, my recommendations to my clients usually come from people that I've used in my personal experience, or if I've had an extensive conversation, have a really good intuitive hit on that person, like, you know, I really dig their values, right? You're
mm-hmm.
going to recommend those people. And if it just doesn't jive, that's okay. But if they're looking to connect with somebody else for some other opportunity, you know, be happy to do so.
Right, right.
Once again, it's about serving.
Right, and we talk about this all the time in both of my industries, the web development industry and the VA industry. It's a very poor idea to take a client just because you need the money. It's a bad idea. And for me, that's my take on it. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely, and this goes to the time factor, right? When we're streamlining our schedule, you have to look at your schedule as an entrepreneur, right? Think about it. It's not even that money is the greatest commodity in your business. It's actually time is the greatest commodity in your business. And that's where entrepreneurs have to really step into and own that and say, my time is sacred. So if I'm going to take on a client and you look at your schedule and you're going to plug that client in, those are sacred times and those people better be great candidates. Because they are getting sacred time on your calendar. And if we really look at it that way, to say this is something that's that golden time, that sacred time, and we are exchanging energy with this client, right? Then we have to really step into that and really pick really good people. You know, our clients aren't just picking us, we're picking them too. That's how you create the level playing field and a great relationship.
Exactly. And so many of my clients have been with me for years. I mean, years. They don't come and go. Yeah. They're there for the long term.
Yeah, it is funny. I was speaking to my assistant. It was a couple months back, and I said, I think she was thinking about taking on another client, and she happens to be a virtual assistant, and we work in an independent contractor status. She's got a couple other clients. She's like, I don't know if I should take this person on. I asked her two questions. I said, listen. I said, would you ever invite this person to your kid's birthday party, number one? Or number two, if you were stuck in an airport with them for 8 hours, would it be okay?
I love it.
Think about it.
Oh, I don't have to think about it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Are you welcome at my front door? No. Go away now. We're done.
Yeah. Once again, you know, it's pick your people and the people that you surround yourself with. Choose wisely. And you can. You can. Don't ever do it because you need the money. Because the most precious commodity is your time. Because if you do choose that person for the money, guess what? They're going to suck you dry on your time.
Yeah, they nickel and dime you to death. It's not a fun experience for either of you. And I'm constantly preaching this, but people who are first starting out are saying, but I've got to keep the doors open. I've got to pay the bills. Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And they're making decisions that can come back to haunt them. Because, you know, once you start doing work that you're not really qualified for, or you didn't do well and you've got a client who is unhappy with you, look, the internet is a tiny place. Yeah. You can get in big trouble out there. So you're dead in the water before you really ever get up and running.
And that's the key. Figure out what you're really, really good at, and what you're not really good at, outsource it. Get somebody else that's really good at it to fill the gap, and that still elevates you. As a professional, an expert, an authority, you know where your sweet spot is, and you know where you need to outsource. And that makes you powerful.
Very much so. I mean, I follow Richard Branson around all over the internet like a little puppy dog. I find him fascinating. Do you think for a moment he does all of that work himself? Of course not.
No.
But look where he is. He's got these brilliant businesses. Yeah, but he's got a lot of people that he just says, hey, you know, this is what I need done, and then he trusts them, I guess, I'm assuming, to do the best work that they can do.
Yeah, and that's the other lesson, too, that I think eludes a lot of people, especially coming out of corporate. You know, sometimes it's a matter of, especially if you have other colleagues or if you're hiring people that are under you, that you may be managing in a group, you know, in the corporate life, people aren't going to hire anybody that are just as smart as them or smarter because they're trying to jockey for their place in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
exactly.
When you're an entrepreneur, you can't have that same mindset. You have to surround yourself with the best people and the best expertise. And I always say, if I'm not hiring people that don't know more than me in a particular area, then something's wrong because then I'm not getting the best people and then I can't be great at what I do.
Right. You know, I love WordPress. I think WordPress is magic, but I don't know everything about it. And I make sure that I have team members who can just rock my boat on WordPress and teach me things.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just the only
Absolutely.
Way to do it. Okay. I have another question for you. Your authority index, because I read you, I think it was one of your blogs you were talking about this. So here's my thinking, and I would love to hear what you think. I think you need to set yourself up to become a resource for people online. If you don't have your own content, you can curate other people's content. But you need to have some kind of authority before you can really offer services, don't you think?
I do, and I think that authority factor comes from one key thing. And I think it's that, and this scares people, that one thing is, pick something that you're really, really good at and become the go-to person for it. Because if you put yourself out as a jack of all trades, you're a master of none and you can't be known for anything.
Right. That's exactly right. So where do you tell people when they're just kind of starting out, what advice do you give them to say, okay, whatever industry they're in, how do you help them create a roadmap? Because it's scary. When you're on your own, you know, you've got your little office in your home and you're just, it's isolating. We all know that when you first start out as an entrepreneur, you're on your own. It can be one of the most isolating things in the world. So how do they say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I know I am just a rock star in this area. Now I'm going to create programs or processes or systems or coaching, whatever it is around this one thing that I'm really good at. And as time goes on, I'm going to, you know, expand my sphere of influence. I'm going to learn more things. I'm going to bring in more people. But right now, I need a roadmap, and I need to find out what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. So how do you help people with that mindset? Because it is a mindset, isn't it?
It is a mindset. And once again, we go back to that foundational piece of understanding, you know, where you excel, where your strengths are. And then we build on it from there. And then one of the key factors that once you come up to this fork in the road, you have to make a really, really key decision. And this is something that this is a little nugget that your audience members can take. You have to decide whether your services that you offer, if you have a system or if you have a process. And this is where people get themselves really mixed up, okay? So the system is all of the different steps, right? If you outline the results that you give your clients, you pick maybe 3 to 5 of those. And if they have some sort of a teaching element, if the sub-steps underneath the steps have a teaching element, you have a system, okay? And then if you go the other route, if you have a process, this is more of a consultant type of avenue. So this is where CPAs and financial planners and even business automation specialists or online business managers can fall into. It's a process that they take people through, and most of the time they're doing the work for them. So does it have a teaching element? Do you have a system where you're teaching other people how to do something? Or is it a process where you're actually doing the work for the client? And I think that coming to that crossroads and understanding which way you decide to go, that makes all the difference in the world.
And you can start out with one and then move into the other down the road, can't you?
You can. You just have to really see what's better suited for you, just because maybe you came out of some sort of a career where it was more process-based, right? Then you discover, and we would probably discover this early on, in really understanding the key foundational pieces of how you show up, if you have that innate ability to teach, and if you have that want to teach, and then how you structure that. Just because you weren't a teacher in your former career doesn't mean that that's not within you, and it may open up abilities that you never knew you had. So that's really where you can start making some decisions. And listen, pick a road. It doesn't have to be right or wrong. Just pick one. But this is where people get really confused and they start trying to do both and it doesn't work.
I know. And here's the thing, too. And I like the way you said, just pick one.
Yeah.
What I heard when you said just pick one was just do something. Start. Don't wait. Don't let it be perfect. It is not going to be perfect. Just get off your butt and do something. Pick something. Do it. That's what I heard. It's not what you said, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, and it's so key that you picked up on that, because perfection won't get you paid.
No, it'll cripple you.
Yeah, you'll be paralyzed. You'll be stuck in isolation. You'll be paralyzed, and you'll be like, you're going to quit before you even start.
Oh, yeah. What do they call that? Analysis paralysis. It'll stop you before you ever get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, so just do something. If you take small steps towards your goal every single day, you're more likely to get there. And most people, and here's the key. I think a lot of people are like, well, what's the success to entrepreneurship and, you know, making money and having a successful business? And it really comes down to something really, really simple. Is if you are willing to do what most other people won't do, if you're willing to go past the point where most people stop, right? And if you have a goal that you're committing to just take little steps and to be in action, versus paralysis, you're going to make something happen.
Oh, no kidding. One of my clients is a world-famous fitness professional. I mean, he's world-famous. And his mantra, his motto, he says this every day. He puts it at the end of his, it's in his email signature. He preaches this every day. And I'm going to have to paraphrase it, but basically he just insists that if you get up every day and you move forward and you're 1% better than you were the day before, you will never fail.
Absolutely.
And that makes perfect sense to me. I'm like, mm-hmm, got it. So I have adopted that mindset. I think I had it.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to vocalize it. And when I saw that, I went, oh, well, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and just taking those little steps, and there's another really key factor here as well. Recognize the steps that you take and the little victories you have. Because we're always so focused on the problems and fixing the problems and going to the next step that we forget where one problem today was so big, right? And when we walk through it, then we're like, eh, we don't think anything of it. Take a moment to celebrate that and recognize that you're moving forward and really, you know, take that in, because we tend to just blow past it. And if
right.
we don't find or experience joy within our business, it becomes a very long and arduous road.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. And I keep a journal, and it's a digital journal, because I type much, much quicker than I can handwrite something. And I've found that if I try to write notes, and I'm a note taker, I love to write things down, but if I'm trying to get something out of my brain and onto paper very quickly, I can't read it. It's a mess. It's just like my handwriting just devolves as my brain goes faster and faster. So I keep it on, I have this digital journal on my computer I got from davidrm.com. It cost me $49 7 or 8 years ago. And I'm telling you, I had to make the time. I had to learn. I had to teach this to myself to say, you know, when somebody says something to me, it's just like, oh, thank you. That's just so sweet. Thank you very much. I will forget about it if I don't write it down. So it has to go into my journal so I can go back and go, oh, remember when I couldn't make a website to save my life? Well, now I whip them in and out. I mean, literally, I write code in my sleep. Everything is a learning process, but everything is also a thankfulness process. And I think we forget to thank ourselves.
Yeah, and that's your daily gratitude practice, and that's the other key factor. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, I just stumbled into that one, so tell me more about that.
Yeah, you know, having the gratitude practice is really a key component of everything, because if you think about it, when it comes to operating within the universal laws of, you know, life, and having that gratitude and that thankfulness, it actually opens us up. See, opens us up to receive more of that. Because if we don't stop to focus on the gratitude and the great things that happen and the joy, then we're focusing on what's wrong, what's not happening, and what's not coming, right? And what's interesting is the universe always says yes.
I know. Do you know what I do every morning, Deborah? And I've done this for the longest kind of time. I wake up all night long. I'm a cat napper. I don't sleep all that much, but the last time that I'm going to wake up, the final time that I'm going to wake up before I leave my bed, I open my eyes and I stretch and I stretch and I'm not stretching full length. I'm stretching my arms up to heaven, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth is thank you. Big smile. Thank you. And I'm holding my arms up. And I'm telling you, that's how I start my day every day.
It's fantastic.
And
it really
makes me feel good. It does.
It does. And it invites in more gratitude and more great things to happen, because what you focus on manifests. So you have to really decide, and I actually just did a blog post on this. It was in light of the Super Bowl, and it was, I can't remember the title of it, was it something like Pick a Team? Every single day, you either get up, and then every single day you get up, you pick a team. You're either on team fear or team faith, and start to recognize how you're starting your day. And it really speaks to that gratitude practice.
It really does. I mean, and I wake up with a smile on my face because, number one, I'm glad I woke up. Number two, I can jump out of bed and go do really great things. I mean, it's an exciting thing for me to jump out of bed in the morning.
It is, and it's so exciting when you're in this lovely, lovely spot of being able to drive your career, drive how every day is going to roll for you, drive how you're going to leave your legacy and put your mark in the world. That's power in itself. That's, you know, when you talk about wealthy people, true wealthy people, and I think, and I read this in one of Dan Kennedy's books, and it was so well put together. Once again, I'm going to paraphrase, but, you know, the wealthiest people on the planet are the people who get to do what they want to do every single day, work with the people that they want to, and serve in a way that honors who they are and can leave their mark on this world. That's a true wealthy person.
Exactly. And without even knowing that, without having read that, and I've read him since, but when I started my business, I just did that because I knew. I knew who I was. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew that the internet was made just for me. God made it for me. I share it with y'all, but it's mine. Yeah, it was mine.
I love it.
Mine, but I do share. And, you know, I always knew. There was always that sense of knowing. And then over time came the sense of, oh, wow, somewhere along the line, I either didn't recognize that I had fear or I just said, I'm not playing. You can't play in my sandbox. You go now. So I'm asked this all the time. Are you fearful? Are you worried that your business will implode? Were you afraid when you first started out? I have to say, I don't think I ever felt real fear. I just did it because it was right. It was right for me.
Yeah, somewhere
maybe
along the line.
Maybe I didn't have sense enough to have fear. I don't know. You know, well, maybe my mother mashed my soft spot too hard. I don't know.
You know, and that's really key in what you said, because your sense of knowing, you translated that into the sense of honoring what you know. And this is where a lot of people get tripped up, because a lot of people won't honor what they know because, once again, they fall into that second guessing. They don't know if what they're thinking or feeling is right. They're actually looking for approval to say, okay, move forward,
or
now take the next step. And really, to tell you the truth, that's where a lot of coaches and consultants come in, because they do step in as a temporary permission granter until people can start really exercising that muscle on their own and saying, okay, this is what it is to be an entrepreneur, because it's not just about knowing a lot of things and being great with business. It's actually, that's probably a smaller part of it. But what it is trusting your inner voice, having confidence, and just be willing to do what other people aren't willing to do every single day. That's the formula.
Oh, I agree with you. I can't even begin to tell you how much I agree with you. And look, IQ is fine and dandy. Look, I consider myself a pretty smart person, but I have known people with really high IQs that seriously could not tie their own shoes. They had no common sense at all. But I rely more on emotional intelligence rather than IQ. I think emotional intelligence is where your integrity comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, and that it definitely gets revealed when working with people trying to zero in on, you know, where's their genius? What does that look like? Because it's going to show up different for everybody. But let's hone in on that, and then let's rock it. Let's use it.
Right, right. And do you know that our hour flew by? Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
It went by so fast. I know, but we've got about 90 seconds. What is the number one strategy to working less while you build up your income and while you create more income? Because that's really what I'd like to know. And honestly, I have to warn you right now, I'm probably not going to take your advice because I love working, but anyway, just share with the audience what you think that number one strategy should be.
The number one strategy to working less is to actually reverse engineer your calendar and really look at it from a perspective of, okay, instead of starting to schedule everything for everybody else, put in your non-negotiables, and this is time for you, because this is the biggest thing that most people miss. They will fill up their calendar with things for everybody else, but take out your calendar and start putting in things for you, your workouts, your lunches,
right,
your date nights. And then do that first.
Oh, I do.
Do that
okay, so
first.
I've already taken your advice. I didn't even know
that. Yeah, so make sure you do that first, because entrepreneurs will just work and work and work and work and work, and they break dates with themselves chronically.
I know. I've seen that happen. You should see my Google Calendar. You know, my workout in the morning is on there. I've got break times when I must leave my office. I must leave my desk and go outside and play in the yard with the dog. Then I've also got reading time. I read all the time, so I don't really need to schedule that. But I have scheduled time to work on my business, not in my business, you know, products that I want to create and different things. And I don't consider that working, though.
Yeah.
That's me time. I consider that very much me time.
Yeah, and that's where your business and personal overlap, and it's
yeah.
joyous, and it becomes part of you, and it's not
yeah.
work.
It's fun.
It is.
People are listening to us going, they're crazy.
Crazy like a fox, right?
I know. Well, listen, we are still recording. We're not streaming live anymore, but we're still recording. Excuse me. I've got the cough today. Where can people find you on the internet, and what would you like them to take away from this chat today? Is there any one particular thing that you would really like them to kind of hone in on?
Yeah, so people can find me on the internet. My website is anewviewllc.com, so AnewviewLLC.com. And one of the big takeaways is that, you know, even if you're not even if you don't come from an entrepreneurial background, if you feel like you're not, you know, bred and born into like business and you don't know the ins and outs, it's okay, because the key point is understand who you are, how you operate, so you can start setting yourself up for success from the beginning. And then you can take a lot of the struggle out and you don't have to follow the pack. You can blaze your own path and become known for whatever it is that your strengths and gifts are. That's how you elevate your authority status. That's how you become known. That's how you start putting together your packages and your services, and you start organizing things so that you can start profiting in your business.
Brilliant. That is a great, great summation. Thank you so much. Deborah, thank you for being with me here today. I've had a ball. I mean, I took a lot of takeaways away from it. I was taking notes, and it's been wonderful chatting with you so much.
Thanks for having me. This has been so lovely. It went by so fast.
We'll have to do this again. Well, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Deborah Angeletta. And I'm going to go grab a cough drop. Deborah, thank you so much. And have a great Valentine's Day.
Thanks. You as well.
Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.